don't burn bridges. When you are out and you are out marketing, attacking people is always the wrong answer. Look how I've done it. I've done it on messaging. I've done it on core market beliefs. I've done it on, so that's the point I'm trying to say here. So when you're doing marketing, don't slam another person. Don't burn a bridge because you think another opportunity is there. You don't realize how much work it takes to build a new bridge.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
What's up, everyone? Hey, I am just starting Cashflow Mondays here. I'm sorry, it's a few minutes late. So I wanted to just walk through real quick. Cashflow Mondays, if you're still unsure what this show is, I tend to make things that are a little bit too deep sometimes. But Cashflow Mondays is about what I would do if you basically hired me to help double your revenue. And I go to cashflowmondays.com. I look at the WooFoo form that's in there. And I look to see, in fact, I'm looking at it right now. I look to see which in here would be really fun to use as a case study live in front of everybody. It's been about 30 submissions so far. And submitting doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that I'll be able to get to you or that it guarantees it. I look to see what the ones would be who would help the group the most. And so I thought I'd do something a little bit different today. So, hey, what's up, everyone? How you guys doing? So I thought it'd be really fun to tell you a little more about the preparation I've done for Funnel Hacking Live. Really, really excited for it. I spent 8 hours at the ClickFunnels office on Saturday and went, Russell and I've already been doing a lot, so we're focused on our speech. This idea came about, I don't know, probably like 3 months ago. I just got a message from him and he's like, hey, do you want to co-author a book together? I was like, first off, yes. Being very involved in these books, you know, I'm excited to do that process with him again. But he's like, you're one of the people that has gone the deepest into these old school rich dead guy marketer stories that really helps somebody understand what marketing is today, which was a really nice compliment to hear from him. And so I was like, I don't know why I do this, but I usually ask him, like, are you sure you want to do this like with me? Is there somebody else? And part of it is that it's not like an insecurity thing. I don't know. I ask him because I want to know what his reasoning is. And that was what he said. He's like, my reasoning is that you go really, really deep on these stories and it helps people learn how to market. And so I was like, that's awesome that he believes that, because that's exactly why I've been doing that. It's the show. So like, you know what I mean? And he's like my dream customer of sorts. My dream customer is kind of elevated just a little bit. And I'm working more with like CEOs of bigger businesses. And it's not to say I don't do other stuff also still, but to get that validation from him was a big deal. So the reason I'm saying this is because there's a few key lessons I wanted to walk through with you guys here. So this is going to be a different of a Cashflow Mondays. This Cashflow Mondays, just getting to Orlando now. Awesome. Very cool. See you. Best books. So sorry, I can't go to FHL. It's 22. Hey, that's totally fine. Totally get it. He was telling me, I think I can tell you this, last year because of the scamdemic, which if you cannot pick out my opinions on all that, you probably have by now. They had like 2,500 people live and a lot more streaming. So it's still like 5,000 people, but this one, they sold more tickets in person than they have ever had ever. And I'm super pumped, to be going there. It's going to be awesome. The lineup is ridiculous. I've never seen this level of lineup from him. I'm really, really pumped for it. But so what I want to give you guys is a few of the lessons that I've learned while preparing for Funnel Hacking Live with Russell. Now, this is not the first time I've done that with him, of course, but it is a few specific things I've written down right here I just want to walk through. And these are things that I have learned, some of it by osmosis, just being in the area, and others of it just by watching how other people have reacted with him also behind the scenes. Over the past, because I'm coming up on 5 years since I left my job there. 5 years, right? Crazy. I'm really, really blessed to still have this kind of relationship. And inevitably, this probably came out 6 months after I left. I was, you know, when I left working there, I wanted to join the inner circle for real as a paying member. And, you know, there were those who were like, you could just show up. And I was like, no, there's value in paying. So I paid joined the inner circle, and I was sitting there, and we got to the Q&A session and portion of the inner circle meeting that day. And someone raised their hand and said, this question has popped up multiple times now with Russell and I in the same room. Someone raised their hand and said, Russell, I want to know how you and Steven were able to stop working together, but on great terms. He's like, not everyone does that. And we both chuckled because we know that's true. He's like, how is it that you could both work so closely together and then no longer work close together? And then A, Russell, you're okay with that. And B, Steven, you don't feel weird or threatened by that, right? This is important to understand. And this is a different vibe than you might be thinking that I was going to go down with this whole thing. Because it circled all the way back. It has multiple times and the circle just keeps getting bigger, right? And it happened again over this last weekend. So this question popped up almost 5 years ago for the first time. And it was in Russell's inner circle, which I finally was a part of at that time. I was like, yeah. And valid question. And what he said was, he said, I knew Steven was just talented and he would leave one day. And the guy was like, yeah, okay, sure. But I really focused on leaving well. I stayed another 4 months, actively put back all my projects that I wanted to go launch. All the stuff you guys saw me go launch at the beginning of 2018, if you guys were following me back then, all that stuff, I put it all back so that I put off my revenue. I put off my projects. I put off my things and focused for the next 4 months on building an internal process and team and personnel that would replace Russell and I. And that was a huge move for him, right? And for ClickFunnels. And inevitably for me, I was not asked to be the one funnel away guy yet at that time. That happened like a year after I left, or like 6 months or something like that. The same thing with Tucom Quebec and running the FAT events and the stuff I was still involved with over there. And I cannot overemphasize the importance of relationships and not burning bridges. Okay. While he and I were preparing slides, we were looking at old presentations that we either prepared together or for events that we had done together. We go back and forth on these different concepts and then we'll grab, you know, so pictures of, and I'm being real tender as I say this, okay? But certain stories that were not friendly popped up of situations and times and places and people who have not left well. I'm not here to toot my own horn. I'm here to tell you the benefit of not burning bridges, okay? Even if it takes 5 years, 10 years, 15 years to circle back. Can I tell you how awesome it is for me to share the stage with that guy and co-author a book together? Like, that's so cool. And it's taken some patience. I've had to sacrifice a lot. I've had to do a lot of stuff that was way beyond the call of duty. But that's the point, is don't burn bridges. When you are out and you are out marketing, attacking people is always the wrong answer. Look how I've done it. I've done it on messaging. I've done it on core market beliefs. I've done it on, so that's the point I'm trying to say here. So when you're doing marketing, don't slam another person. Don't burn a bridge because you think another opportunity is there. You don't realize how much work it takes to build a new bridge. Okay. So this can take a while, but it took Russell 10 straight years of Dream 100ing Tony Robbins before he ever really got a response from him. 10 years. So keep a long vision. Keep a long tail vision in this game. And you know, there's a lot of crap stuff behind the scenes of stuff that Russell's gone through that I've watched right in the same room, and to watch the way that he would react or respond, right? He wouldn't react. He would take a moment. He's human. And he would have a little quick pity party. We all do. But he would have it in a respectful, couth way that would sit, you know, and he'd be like, oh, dang it. Of course he gets mad, right? And one of the things he and I are so tight. We've been very vulnerable with each other over the years on all aspects of our lives, just he and I in the same room. So, and regardless of what happened, right? And so I would watch him have a quick pity party, and then he would elevate, remember who he is, right? Recenter himself, remember his purpose and who he's serving and why he's here. Do you think he needs more money? No. Why does he still do it? Okay, it's out of pure love. Getting on stage is not natural for either of us, by the way. I am an introvert. It freaks me out. I am nervous right now. I will tell you that I'm stressing. Okay, I'm stressing. I love it. It is my sport, man. I believe this is why I was freaking born. It's one of the reasons that I'm here to go do what I'm doing on Thursday with him. But it scares me. I am not. It is not a natural thing for me. I am more, this is easier for me. Right? I am safer on stage than I am in the crowd. This is the first year I'm not having a bodyguard either. One of my coaches told me, he's like, don't get a bodyguard. He's like, if you want to go to the next level, you have to learn. He's like, you're one of the most strongest deep empaths ever. I am a very strong empath. Walking through airports is hard for me because I'm just soaking up storylines and emotions of all the people around me. It's one of the reasons I'm good on stage. I can read your emotions. I can read your storylines in the comments. I can like, and so I, it was, a, he's like, the guy that I'm working with, he's like Charles Xavier. And I'm like an X-Men hurting myself with my own superpower. That's kind of like a good way to describe it. This is my first year not having a bodyguard. Okay. I'm scared. I'm nervous. I'm trying to flip that. It's all good. And I'm trying to be felt rather than constantly feel. And this is what I'm working on. And this is my test for this next week is that. That's scarier for me than getting on stage. Way scarier. Like, I've had a panic attack over this. All right. Like, I am nervous, guys. And the trick is to feel the fear and do it anyway. Right? Not out of fear, not out of aggression, not out of warrior, not out of any of that, but out of Olympian and your higher self, right? And doing that. So that's what I'm practicing. I'm being vulnerable in my group, being vulnerable right now with you guys. That is what freaks me out way more than the speech. And so I would watch similar in the same room of what Russell would go through when a crappy thing would happen to him. Something would just dump on him, something he did not deserve. And he'd have his pity party for a moment and he'd get mad sometimes, rarely, very rarely. Who doesn't? And then he would, it was like I could, like part of this, because I am a very deep empath, I would watch him. It's like I could see the flips and gears going on in his head. And he would call back, turn back up and go, bless them. And I was like, whoa, that is awesome. Right? I don't swear on camera, but I definitely do. I was like, that's like, sweet. You imagine showing up like that? That level you have to be at? Let me tell you, ClickFunnels right now would bury Russell of 5 years ago. It would bury him. I couldn't handle what I'm doing with him on Thursday 5 years ago. I couldn't handle it. There's no way I could handle it. It would absolutely smash and destroy my mentality. It would destroy my person. I couldn't handle it. That it would. How many guys like you stress super hard, or you're like, wow, doing the next webinar is really tough, or oh my gosh, this piece over here that I'm about to go do is like, what if someone says no to me? First off, I guarantee someone's going to hate you just because they hate their life. It's not you. You're just a mirror for them on what they hate about themselves. So it's not you anyway. Second off though, these businesses really do grow to the level that you do. And if you are willing to, you got to turn at some point and lean into it. The only way out is through. The only way to heal it is to feel it. So you start turning into those things and you start moving towards those things and you start passing through them and they will grow you and elevate you faster than you ever could do to yourself, which is why entrepreneurship grows you so quick, which is also why it kind of sucks sometimes, right? And so this is like been very full circle for a lot of reasons for me as I start to watch what's been happening. And that's really the first part of what I want to talk to you guys about. Don't burn bridges. Leave well. If you know you need to go leave an where you currently are to your next place, which is how every hero's journey starts, don't leave your homeland by burning it, whether that be family, relationships, current job, current whatever, because you have no idea how it's going to circle back. I know a lot of my audience came from One Funnel Away Challenge. I know that. I'm not ignorant to that, but I did it in a way that served and blessed and was ultimately always back for the purpose of ClickFunnels. And then knowing that along the way, there would be little cookies and things that would take me, pull me, and move me faster than I could ever sprint myself. And that kind of over, that like long-term view of the game is really, really key in terms of relationships. And so because of that, like, that's why I'm still around, man. Okay, this is a smaller world than you think. And a lot of us influencers talk to each other. And I get a lot of messages from people saying, hey, so-and-so just reached out. In total fairness, because it's really cool to see who's like aware in their head and they're not trying to slam that, but they're trying to protect their brand also. So they'll reach out and be like, hey, in the most total loving, everything is fine way, so-and-so just reached out to me. What's been your opinion on working with that person? And they're not asking, how is fulfillment? They're asking, is this a safe human being? Is my brand safe with them? Are they a psycho? Right? And I'll say, like, I totally get it. You know what? They did amazing. And then it's really cool to see, like, the different influencers who are aware, and they start to say stuff like, hey, you know what? I love this part about them. This part wasn't great, but you know what? I think it's because this was going on in their life. And that, you know, we talk like this. A lot of us do. And so I'm bringing it up so that you all know, like, have a long-term play with this, long-term vision, create relationships. People who are adding value to an influencer's community, you're known, but we know your name. We see it, right? And when the next campaign comes up or the next thing that we want help with, I know who to reach out to. Happened again today, actually, reading one of the submissions on the cashflowmondays.com. And I'm like, oh, wow, cool. That person submitted? Kind of a bigger deal now. That's sweet. I would love to go do something with this person. And understanding that long-term play like that, that's the difference between, there's a really good book called The Science of Getting Rich. And in there, it's a little bit more meta. It teaches in there, though, that there's two ways to get rich. One is by competition. And the other is by creation. And the default for human beings and the croc brain of our head is to try to get rich through competition. And we get rich through competition by breaking down someone else's tower, right? Cutting, or some kind of jab or whatever. And I certainly am not opposed to jabs, but what you jab matters a lot. Don't jab the person. Don't jab, right? And so you be careful how you're throwing the punches out in the marketplace, because marketing is definitely war. The great podcast called Business Wars. Oh, such a good podcast. Russell got me on that one. Such a good podcast. You guys would love Business Wars. But notice how the fights come out and who the bad guy is. There's always a villain. And be careful what the villain is and what you're punching for and where you're going for. I was not planning on going through this at all. I'm just flowing here. So that's the first thing I really wanted to say is, as we were preparing slides over the weekend together and we were going through these different pieces, is to look back on some of the stories that were popping out. Some of the stories that were popping out on situations that did not go well. That bridges were not just burnt, they were nuked, right? And they didn't just nuke it. They went back and tried to grab the resources from the building to build their net, or from the bridge to turn around and build their next bridge. They're like, wow, like, you completely decimated that relationship, you know? And it's like, huh. And it's tough, you know? It's tough. Don't do it for the sake of a dollar. You know, if you're going to burn a bridge because if you're like, I got to go sell this thing, and the only way I know how to sell money is to destroy the person who taught me how to do this stuff or whatever, that's a short road. What I'm saying is not sexy, and it's only going to attract the 20% of people who are open. But long term, baby, you guys will keep hearing about me in 20 years from now because I won't have left the game. And that's how it's going to be. My entire intent is to basically be, I want to be the cross between Mark Cuban, Elon Musk, and Russell Brunson. That's kind of like where I'm going. And that involves M&A, that involves info, that involves SaaS, that involves being on TV, and that's where we're going. That's where I'm going. And I know it's coming, and I'm pulling it towards me, and I'm getting all the lessons on the way while it happens, and I'm not burning bridges. And I had open dialogue.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. Jonna spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and managed the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. Jonna is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of chief ads officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode. Blog conversations with Russell when I'd only been working him for 6 months. This is what happened. He sent me a message. I had started Sales Funnel Radio, and it was one of the first real interviews that I'd done with someone who was a little bit, you all know his name. Amazing guy. I absolutely love him. And Russell, after I interviewed him on Sales Funnel Radio, right, it was not a ClickFunnels show, it was my own show. Russell saw me interview him. And then I remember one day we were sitting in the office. He saw me seeing him. And he sent me a message that night and he goes, "Hey, I want to just thank you for being with me and helping me because I know you're watching so-and-so. And I know that you know you can go do that. And I know that you can go be crazy successful on your own. Thanks for being with me for a couple of years." And when he said that, he's like, and when that time happens that you go, like, first off, how epic of Russell to say this too. He's like, when you choose to go, just make sure I'm involved with it and make sure that we're good to go. And he set that tone. And it's like, what an epic way to set a relationship. This is also why I stopped hiring entrepreneurs, by the way, because I got tired of hiring people and then training them and then they leave me. That happened a lot, which is also why I'm the reason that they don't try not to do that themselves either. But the relationship didn't need a burn because of that. All right. That's the first thing I wanted to talk about. And I'll come back to the comments in a moment here. The second thing I wanted to talk about with this is that when I'm looking back on the last 5 years, there's easily the middle 2 years where I felt I knew I was doing the next thing that I needed to, but the scale that I wanted to take it to, like something wasn't jiving. Like it was super, I don't know. And I was like, what I was teaching was amazing. I was farming. You don't really create formulas or frameworks. You farm them, right? You're farming. And they're not just patterns. Creating a framework is a ton of work. It is not just like first this, then this, then this. That's a process. A framework is very different, right? Than a process. And so I was working super hard under the hood of just building these frameworks and trying to help people get more traffic to funnels and helping people launch better and helping people. But it was a period of entrepreneurship for me where I was like, it was tough, man. I'm not gonna lie. Like I wanted to throw the towel in several times. And when I started building that studio and all my bank funding fell out because the scamdemic was going on and everyone was afraid it was gonna happen financially, I had to self-fund that studio, which was, that was a lot, man. That grew me a lot. And it was that period right there. It was just tough, man. It was so tough. And I wanted to quit so many times. I even messaged Russell and I said, "Hey man, like I am interested, like if you have a spot for me," like there were times where I wanted to come back home, so to speak, and work for Russell again. And I never officially asked and he never officially offered. But you know, the temptation is there. And frankly, if that temptation doesn't show up for you at some point, you're probably not doing something hard enough or big enough, right? Like for it to really be worth it, you're going to grow, which means you're going to feel some growing pains. And that's just freaking part of it. That's just part of it. You're going to want to quit at some point, and that's all right. That's why I join masterminds. That's the other reason I join them. It's because that support group, we all feel that way at some point. No one has it together 24/7. Everyone freaks out at some point, right? It happens. And so it was during that phase. And there was many times when I was like, I don't know if I'm going down the right path. I think I'm going down the right path. I think I am, but I don't know. Who else has ever felt like that? Everybody, everybody. And this, like,
You don't have to pretend like you don't. It's stupid to me that we tend to do that as a society of entrepreneurs. It's like, oh, we got it together 24/7. No, we don't. That's garbage. Absolutely not. Here's why I say that. What I was working on when I was farming at that time was insanely valuable. But I was like, is this the correct application of it? I feel like I'm doing a level 10 thing with a level 2 opportunity. And that sucks, right? And that happened over and over and over and over and over. That's happened probably every year. And where I'm like, is this the right application of the skill set? Is it level 10? If I'm truly good, right? Which first, get good. I don't like the title of entrepreneurship where you're not absolutely amazing at something. Get good. If you're not good, get good. It's not hard. You find that most people are so afraid to make a mistake that they don't even do anything. So competition is actually a lot smaller than we all think it is. I don't even look at competition. But when I was in college, it was all we looked at. Like, oh, we can't go into there because it's competition. What if you were just good? Just get good. It takes care of 90% of the problems that pop up inside your head. Just get good, whatever that means. And that might mean you work for free for a while, which is kind of what it felt like for a bit. For that middle 2 years, while I was building a studio, all that stuff was happening. My world was absolutely crumbling. I was going through a divorce. I was going through tons of stuff. A lot of my team didn't stick around. And in fact, only one person has. And not that they all left because something was bad. A lot of them left also because they're like, exactly what I was saying. I trained them. They realized, oh my gosh. And then they left. That happens a lot. So I don't do that anymore. I have a very different way of executing business operations. But I look to see what I'm doing now. And if I had not gone through what I've gone through, there's no way I'd be taking the stage or co-authoring a book with Russell. That dude is on such a different stratospherical level. Like, my first book out will be a New York Times bestseller, most likely, right? Which means my second one will. And I was like, that's not a gloat. That's me saying, holy crap, like, I have really had to work my face off. But it's like, what's the story of the guy who's pushing the rock up and it's never moving and he keeps being told, I want to get made strong. It's like, cool, push that rock up the mountain. And he pushes and pushes and pushes and never goes anywhere. And then after a while, he's like, oh my gosh, woe is me. And he starts getting really frustrated until one day, it's a Greek mythology thing, isn't it? And he's like, well, look how jacked you are now. Your hands are calloused. Your muscles are huge. You have a strong mentality. You've been going, going, going. He's like, I never expected you to push the rock up the mountain, but look at you now, right? Half of us are in that 99% of the time and don't realize it and think it's the opportunity we're in, or we think that it's the funnel, or we think it's some kind of launch, or we think it's some kind of, and that's not it. You're being primed for a larger game that you don't qualify for yet. And I did not qualify for what I wanted to do. I told Russell so many times, please let me do a project with you. I want my name on it also. I want to work my face off just the same way I did with these. I worked my face off on these books also. Okay. And I was like, I kept saying, I want to do this too. I want to do this. I want to work on Expert Secrets, .com Secrets, Traffic Secrets. I worked a lot on these books. Like, they're not my books. I was like, I want that. I want to know what that's like. And I'm finally at a spot where I'm getting the tip of the hat from the tier up. I call it the call up. I'm getting called up, baby. All right. And I'm like, woo, beam me up, Scotty. I'm ready to rock. Let's go. But then I look backwards to see what I had to go through. And it's been intense. And it's why I create communities like this. And you're safe to be this open as well. This isn't meant to be pity party. Don't do that. This isn't meant to be woe is me or feel bad for me. Don't do that. I won't do that either. But like, when you're like, hey, what do you do when like you get a little down? Or hey, what do you do when you need to like keep you know, pushing forward or whatever? That is 100% part of the game. And funny enough, the formula for success is not that hard. Find a valuable problem, solve it in a valuable way, figure out how it sells. That's it. So why is it so darn hard? Because the parallel journey. It's what I started out Sales Funnel Radio Season 2 with. The parallel journey. It's the internal garbage that is growing you and all the stuff that's popping up. And you're going, oh my gosh, I'm not good enough. Yeah, you are. Oh my gosh, I'm not smart enough. Maybe you're right and you do need to get smarter. Oh my gosh, I don't have any, like, I can't control my day at all. I still don't have a good control over my morning and evening schedule. I still don't. I'm sure that'll pop up sometime here soon. When I work my face off and tend to like do these big long sprints. I still don't have that. It'll happen. Whatever. Okay. There. Screw this mentality of, you got to be the whole, I laughed so hard when I saw Alex Mosey put out a video and he's like, I don't make my bed. Who the heck came up with this thing? Make your bed if you want to be a successful CEO. Garbage. Got to read a book a week if you're going to be a successful CEO. Also garbage. What? What does making my bed have to do with selling a product? Nothing. Nothing. Right. So there's these frameworks, though, that the point, that's a hyperbole, but the point is to show that there are frameworks in your head right now that are keeping you from going where you want to go because you believe they're true. They're not true. And you got to get enough pain and pressure and to finally smash through it and realize, oh, that sucks. So to finish with this thought, what I was learning, what I was farming in those middle 2 years, not only was preparing me for now, I didn't realize that what I was doing would be so valuable that I could literally take the concepts that I have worked my face off for, done multiple events for, and Russell and I just plug them into what he's doing and it flowed seamlessly. And we both looked at it on, this is on Saturday, and we were both like, huh, no idea I've been preparing for this speech for years. Years and years and years. And I'm sure there'll be a few stories that you've heard before. It's marketing. The principles don't change. Okay, but the preparation and what I've gone through is something. It's just not like we just prepared on Saturday. I've been preparing for this for 5 years. Longer. Way longer. My first funnel I ever built was 7 years ago. And it's when I got my ClickFunnels account, 2015. And the amount of times that you're going to have to go to bat and do reps and over and over and over, like, just lean into the game. And so I know we all hear these stories where someone says, I made $1 million. I broke the record for Two Comma Club the fastest. Screw those stories. All right. That is comparing where you are to where that person is. And they're probably further, right? I've done really, really, really fast, high dollar amounts. I've also done the exact opposite where I'm like, how come it's not working? How come it's not happening? Right. The trick is to only ever compare you to you and you to yesterday. That's it. You compare yourself to anybody else, you're dead. It's going to kill you. It's the fastest killer. Dan Sullivan did a whole course on this called The Gap. Fastest way to kill yourself as an entrepreneur, comparing yourself in general. Okay, so it's you against you, it's you against yesterday, period. And you probably don't realize that on two fronts, you're living your future hook. Number one, the internal part. I didn't realize I got to grow. Oh my gosh, all this crap, right? And you're living your future hook. And when you have that long-term vision, that's the best way to weather the storm, if you will. The second part of this, though, is that you're gathering skill sets you may not even realize that are going to be used down the road. It's kind of like, remember when you had to learn like calculus or, you know, something in school and you're like, am I ever going to use this? And a lot of instances in those situations, no, you're not going to learn that specific skill set or use it in the future. But what you learned was how to learn. You learned how to be critical in thinking. You learned, does that make sense? That's what you got from school. I'm never going to bash school. School's amazing. Everyone should go. All right. Look what it turns you into. Like, it doesn't teach you how to make money. Yeah, but it teaches you how to be an adult. It teaches you all this other stuff that is really powerful that you should learn. You should learn, right? Not own your own crap, and not that you have to go to school to learn that stuff. But we have different ways on, you know, on our journey and different paths. But that's what I'm saying is that you're living your future hook, and it's on multiple fronts, and it's from this internal one, which is really the real one and the most sucky one. And the other one is that you're picking up skill sets along the way because you may not qualify for where you're really trying to get yet. I haven't made $1 million yet. Maybe you don't qualify to be $1 million person yet. Just in honesty, so learn. Right? And those two is what's really happening for you. So, all right, I'm going to jump off here and you're already winning, right? You're already winning. And even if you feel like you're failing, just getting back up the plate, as clichely as that comes out, it's true. That really is all. Just standing back up, just getting back up. That's the goal. That's the goal. Because what you're learning is reps. You're learning mat. You're getting back on the mat. You're logging time in the gym, if you will, the proverbial mental gym. In fact, when Marley and I started dating, I told her before we started dating, I said, it's important to me that I'm with somebody who I can do two things with. Number one, I need to be able to mentally volley with them. Okay, if I can't unleash the absolute storm of ideas that come into my head on a daily basis, and that's threatening for whoever I'm with, it's not going to work out. The second thing is, as I said, Marley, you're going to see me go into what I call the proverbial weight room. And it's going to be times and periods of my life that just freaking suck. And I'm getting ground down to a powder, not realizing that it's because it's the material to make bricks for the next structure. And you're going to watch, it's going to suck. And it's going to be high pressure. I am not a normal dude. And I will not come home at 5 o'clock every day. And I will not, you see what I'm saying? I won't. I know I won't. I know I'm meant for, I know what I'm meant for. And I'm very aware of that. And so I said, so just be cognizant of that with your own self and realize, like, look, there's a proverbial weight room that you're going in and it's grinding you down, man. It's way harder than boot camp, right? It's called life and it's crushing you. It's crushing you. And you're like, why does this freaking suck? I'm not one funnel away. Russell and Steve are full of crap, right? And you're like, why isn't this working? You're like, you know what I'm saying? And like, so you're sitting there and you're like, wow, this is sucky. It's like, does the formula work? Yeah. So what's not working? You. And it's not to say you're not showing up every day, but you don't qualify yet. Your engine isn't big enough for the opportunity you're going for. And it's not to say you don't qualify in the long run. It means you are being upgraded. I call them upgrades or downloads. And I can feel when I'm hitting another one. And I know one's coming this week and it stresses me out. And I'm like, dang it, man. In fact, I said this to Marley last night. I was like, I can feel another upgrade coming. And I was looking at staring at our wall blankly. And I was like, freaking again? I just got out of one. Are you serious? Like, I sometimes get pouty and whiny and complainy about the fact that I got to grow. Happens to all of us. It's par for the course. Welcome to entrepreneurship. Fastest growth vehicle you never knew you were enlisting in, right? And it's this proverbial weight room, but then it's the skills weight room, and both are growing at the same time. And what you're working on now, you may not realize is going to go full circle back to the people you were listening to and getting mentored from. And that's what's happening for me this week. And we are going on stage to test the outline of the book, and it will change dramatically afterwards, but that's just the process. Every single one of these books, .com Secrets, Extra Secrets, Traffic Secrets, they were all events. And they were tested as events, knowing they would become books. He did that for all of them. I showed up after he'd done the .com Secrets one, obviously, right? But then Extra Secrets was a 3-day event that was tested in front of a live audience. And from that, we're like, ooh, we thought that concept made sense. Doesn't make sense. Why are things so easy to consume? It's because this is not the first time he's said them. They've been tested and tested and tested and tested on you. Right? Same thing over and over and over and over and over and over. And anyway, so I hope this has been helpful. And this has been a different style of Cashflow Mondays, obviously, but this is just where my head goes, looking at all the things that have been happening. And self-discovery and actualization is so part of the game. And I used to make fun of it. And I told Russell one day to his face, I was like, do we really have to study more mindset crap? And he looked at me and just laughed. And he's like, dude, you got some ways to go, you know? Oh my gosh. Your success comes from events. Not really. That's just a tool in the toolkit. Anyway. All right. Awesome, guys. We'll see you guys later. Thank you so much for being here. If you're at Fun Hacking Live, awesome. If not, it's totally fine too. We are, I'll be doing more live events here coming up soon too. I think I'm going to do an event on events. But what we're doing right now is so cool and so unique. Russell asked me to directly talk about it during our speech. So it's very cool. What Marley and I have been doing is pretty epic. The content for leads stuff. Whew, that's good. I've invented some sweet crap there, man. I'm loving it. You guys are amazing. Rock on, my friends. Stay the course. And we'll see you guys later. Bye.
You've obviously heard me say how important publishing content is in this internet game. And if you can't tell, I like making content. If you'd like to interview me on your show, summit, podcast, live stream, you name it, you'll find it all on stevejlarson.com. It's about halfway down the page. Also, if you've taken the plunge into live events, I love speaking on stages as well, by the way, go to stevejlarson.com, scroll about midway down the page where it says interview Steve, and let me know what I could talk about that your audience would get the most from. Go to stevejlarson.com and let's chat.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With line two, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, line two lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line two keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download line two in the App Store today.